Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 7, 2021. Stages of changes of the desire. Question. From the point of view of Kabbalah, creation is the desire to receive. Desire has no place. Therefore, in the Torah, we are talking about the development of the same desire, which is constantly undergoing some kind of transformation. It is written, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was unformed and void." What is this initial state that a person discovers in himself, the earth, the desire that was unformed and void? Answer, a person does not know how to work with his desires. He has only an initial yearning to attain his spiritual root, but what to do and how to work with it, he does not know. Therefore, for him, everything is foggy, unformed and void. Question, what does the flood that happened later mean? Answer, these are all stages of awakening of a person to a conscious, clearly directed spiritual work. The flood, Babylon, Canaan, Egypt, land of Israel, these are the stages of a gradual change of desire in a person at all degrees, inanimate, vegetative, and animate, until he comes to the full equivalence of form with the Creator. Question, is the land of Israel the final stage? Answer, yes, but in fact we cannot reach it yet. We come to this earth, and it, what is called, spews us out. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, May 21, 2021. New Life 1306. Relations in the Extended Family.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yale Shadoel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Leitman about communication in the family. That's, communication in the family is something that's related to all of us, and all of us have hardships in this field, so we'd like to learn how to make things better. Be with us, Yael, please. A family is where everything begins for all of us. It's a place that all of us would like to have very, very good relationships in. But in practice, we see that things are much more complicated. And if you ask anyone what goes on in their family, I'm sure that everyone's dealing with different kinds of conflicts. And communication difficulties that people would really like to change. We'd all like much better relationships in our families, better than what we have today. And on this show, we'd like to understand, what are good relationships in a family? What is good connection in a family, as opposed to other places? Why is it so important for us to have good connections in a family, and how do we do it correctly? So we'd like to open with a question of what should we aspire for? What is the optimum good connection between or in a family? A family is actually the nest out of which a person grows. If it's a mom without a dad, it's not good. You need parents, and besides the parents, you need relatives closer, further away. But all in all, you need further and further circles to have more and more circles around that person that was born and grows up, to have grandparents and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles. It's something natural, and this has to be as the normal surroundings for a person, for each and every person. A child that grows, it's good for him to know that these people relate to him as their own. And so he can trust them, and he can know that they think about him, they want his benefit, and so on. And this is how it should be for everyone, and especially at a young age, when he grows up and is in need of much support, he needs to have confidence and to grow up that way. Whereas we see that people that grow up without a really well-organized family nest, they have problems in life. They need many times psychological and even psychiatric treatment, and they have many problems in life that they don't know how to overcome. Even simple problems that everyone has to deal with, they have a hard time dealing with. And therefore, these are necessary forces that have to be around a person. And the bigger the family, actually, the more a person, the safer a person feels, better organized. Just one thing. Another thing, when we grow up throughout history, we see that that's not exactly arranged so well. We become more egoistic. There are competitions in the family between brothers and sisters, etc. We see it from the days of the Bible and even before. And actually how among family members there's competition, there's envy, up to hate, and honor and this and that, meaning they're big struggles, and to this day they're not disappearing, but to the contrary, the more we grow up, the more explicit they become. And therefore we have to deal with all of this. And also our offsprings. Where there are brothers and sisters that were born from the same mother and father, there's also competition between them. And we see how from the very first day that they're born, they already have a feeling that something's taken from me and given to someone else at my expense, etc. And really, there are big problems here. In short, our life is arranged in such a way that we're discontent with the family, we're discontent with connection in the family. Why did nature do things the way it did things the way it did? And the order of things is not good. No one's content with it. How are things supposed to be? You know, we can say 1,000 things about how should it be in a family, but no matter what we say, there's discontent with how things are. And therefore, we have many questions in regards to that. There are many problems that, there are different cases where they go to court, not even mentioning when we're talking about talking about inheritance, etc., etc., how to make things to everyone's content. I don't know. Never saw such a thing ever in my life. But only when people somehow swallow their complaints and somehow arrange it externally so that we'll be able to live with it. It's better than opening a Pandora box, and who knows how things will pan out then. I think that there's no instant solution to this unless we teach people how to reach connection, even love between them, because nonetheless they're close. At their foundation, there is a couple a man and a woman that they were born from. And according to that couple, they're really close to each other. They come from the same blood, they came from the same mother, from the same father, and so on. And therefore, I think that the problem demands a solution, on the one hand. On the other hand, the solution is not simple. I think that it could only be on condition that we give an ongoing treatment, ceaseless ongoing treatment to all the generations, and also that we changed treatment from generation to generation because our ego's changing. The circumstances, the external and even internal connections, they change. And accordingly, we have to teach people how to be or have the best possible connections in order to overcome their ego, their evil inclination, and to be above the ego in good relations, so that from a hostile attitude toward each other, they'll be able to come to a favorable attitude. And really, by nature, they're defined as relatives, that they're close. What does it mean to be close? To be close means that, first of all, we are related, we belong to someone in the past, who is our common denominator. If we're talking about brothers and sisters, then it's the mother and father. And if it's further, then a bit more than that. But the problem isn't that we're brothers or sisters. We might think that it's important or not, and it's in relation to our states. But we stumble upon many cases where we are, that we belong to each other, and we have, in many cases, in difficult situations, we have no one else to turn to but to our relatives. Many times there's a problem, like we have to split the inheritance, and there are problems between us. And in general, no matter what happens, and today it's not that common, but usually people would turn to their relatives, their brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, whereas today we're very far from the very first degree where we're really brothers. After that, we reach a state where we barely know who are they, what kind of connection is there between them. Maybe that there has to be some kind of family event, some big wedding, something, God forbid the opposite, that we have to bury someone, or a common relative of ours that passed away, then we inform each other if we know how to reach them altogether. In short, we see that it's a problem. From generation to generation, our ego grows, and from generation to generation, it's harder for us to keep these ties, even externally. You said that because it's such a serious problem, that it's necessary to teach people how to have the best possible connections between them, each above their own ego, for them to be able to reach a favorable attitude toward one another. Were I to tell you, can you depict the final optimum picture? What is the optimum communication that a family should aspire for? An ordinary family. Home, parents, children, if I go in there and suppose there is an optimum form of communication between them, what do I see? So you have to see on the wall, in the living room, a genealogical tree. a family tree. Who came from whom, where, what, how? And you see, oh, these are actually my relatives that I'm somehow connected with by nature, not according to my inclinations or according to the business that I do or my engagements, but this is simply something that comes from nature. I didn't choose it, but that's how it is. So, first of all, we should have such a picture on the wall. So I'll sit and watch and look and say, ah, hello to my aunt, hello here, hello there, how are you? Are you still with us or not? I don't even know. I wasn't we didn't go to any common events, family events, we didn't meet in the cemetery or anywhere. In short, if a person wants to see where he is, it should be right in front of him. In the past, it was very clear. To this day, children are let to prepare it in school, a family tree. It's an assignment at school. Now, about the extended family with grandparents and aunts and uncles and everyone, now I want from there to zoom in to the nuclear family. Myself, my wife, my children. We live in a home. When I want to learn, what does it mean to correctly connect? I want to hear once again, what is the optimum connection above everyone's ego, that this is what will advance us toward a more loving connection? Were we correctly connected with one another, what would we see? It would behave according to the necessary need between us. What does it mean? That the measure to which I need them and they need me, then between us, there is a network of connections. And suppose, how's that different from the external relationships that we have with friends, at work, here, there? How is the communication inside the family different than the communication that you have with people outside of the family? The connection is nonetheless a connection. We have common offsprings, therefore we're called relatives, which is a very, maybe, obligating word that we don't really want to use. Why? Because then I have to accept you and your relatives and as my own relatives. What I care about your children, that I have to treat them differently. I have enough problems at home. Where I live, where do you live, you know? Sometimes, maybe once in a lifetime, I'll send you I'll send my children over. I don't know how happy will you be about it, or to the contrary, how happy will I be about it. We're distant, we're egoists. Everyone has their own life. It's not that we live in a village 200 years ago. Yeah, it reminds me when I was a girl. We used to go for a week to my aunt. It was a part of our vacation, changing atmosphere, changing places. We didn't go to, you know, we didn't travel abroad back then. And today it's no longer common. Maybe you come to visit, but you don't come for a week. That's pretty rare. But what really unites a family is that usually, and I see it in my little family too, every child is something else. Everyone is something else. And this entire package needs to eventually fall into place altogether. What do we have to put in front of our very eyes as parents? What state, atmosphere should we aspire to have at home? The correct connection between the family members so that we'll be able to say that afterwards, a person who grew up correctly, properly, comes out of that nest later. Dr. Ligman, I don't think that it's possible to build something like that nowadays and sustain it. I never saw, I didn't see around me or where I lived, and I lived in many places around the world, and I'm related to many, many people and families, that they have such a possibility, like you told us about, to arrange such a connection between relatives. This civilization of ours really destroyed all of our connections. It's painful how right you are, but still you gave me some hope because you said that if we will have an ongoing, if we will treat people, if we'll give them, if we'll accompany them, teach them, it will be possible to achieve. Dr. Lightman, what for? I think that every person would like to have better relationships with his children, for the relationships between the children to be better. It's the biggest pain that I as a father have, suppose I have four children, so there's I, my wife, and four children. The difficulties that I have in communicating with them, or if I see that there are difficulties in the communication between them, there's nothing more painful. That's all true. That's the closest degree of closeness. So before we go to the rest of the tree, let's start with the nucleus. The optimum kind of connection, suppose we'll succeed to advance toward that to some extent. What do we aspire for? What does it mean to connect above the ego? Let's aspire for one thing, that on mom's birthday, on dear mom's birthday, we all come to her, and before that, we discuss what are we going to buy her, what do we do, we come to her, and we sit next to her for a few hours. We take pictures together, nice pictures, and leave. Till next year. It's something that's really, that really warms up the heart. I say this as a mother. But why did you start out with the mother? Because everyone came from the mother. They came into the nest from that same place. Maybe we can't come to the same building, the same apartment. Maybe yes, but mom, thank God if she's still alive, we come to her, we sit next to her, we hug, we talk, we give her warmth, and that's how. And it's clear that it's a good thing. A healthy family, what, how? I don't think that in, with today's lifestyle that we can do something else. Well, it's true, global families, everyone's in a different place, very dispersed. But inside my small family, you have four children. Three. Good. And you want at least once a year to see them together. One's living in one country, another in another country. No, they're all living here in Israel. Try to gather them. We get together. My children right now, they're at an age where they don't have families of their own yet. But still, even before they have their own families, I feel the difficulty that Owen's talking about. There is like a desire instilled, imprinted, embedded in a person that there is a very strong yearning for there to be good relationships in the family. And nonetheless, with the big yearning that there is, I see that it is impossible. Why? Because I have nothing besides the mother from which all of us came from. Besides that, I have nothing in common with my brothers and sisters. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do?
But
all my desires, all my interests, everything that I have, it's unrelated to them. I have a family. Besides that, I have work, a hobby, different things. I'm related to many other people on a daily basis. And here, you know, once I was connected, but today no more. So before we continue in this very interesting direction, I want to ask, why is it important to have strong ties in a family, good ties? How does it build a person? Yopendin said that once a person has, that since this is the nest out of which we grow, and once you don't have that, a person has different difficulties, struggles in life, and we know that. So as a Kabbalist, I'm asking you, as someone who sees the ties between people on a much broader level than all of us do, why is it so important for how a person's built, for his internality, for his... What is a family for a person? Because it is something that cannot be changed. Can't be changed. If I have brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, it's something that can't be changed. This is something that this is how it is from nature, arranged so from above. And therefore it's very important, but on condition that we keep it and don't break it. How is it possible to really keep this? I don't think that it's possible. Maybe it's possible in extended families, you know, clans. Primitively, it's something that existed always, but in our time, it already reaches such difficulties that are all negative. Nothing in nature happens just so. Because our ego is built in such a way that it wants to break all the ties. Everything there is. Does something good come from it? Maybe later on there will come something good from it, but only from the recognition of evil. Meaning that we will feel that there is no connection between us and that that's bad. In the meantime, I don't see that someone is suffering because he doesn't have good relations with his aunt, cousin, mom's sister, etc. You're attributing great importance to the extended family, to the broader family. Why? Because one holds up the other. If we don't take the size of the connection between us, the broader circle, if we don't take that into account, the smaller circle won't hold either. Why? Because one supports the other. One supports the other. Suppose you and I were connected like brothers somehow, but our children, they don't want to acknowledge that. What are you going to do? And why is it so important? Why is it so important for our children to be connected to? I don't know. In today's world, there is no connection. I have a brother in Canada and he has children in America. And so on and so forth. And I barely have any connection to them. I hear how they're doing in life, and Unfortunately, our time's almost up. You said that in the future, family ties will disintegrate up to the point where we will acknowledge that the ego is breaking up all of our ties. When we will reach this kind of diagnosis that the ego is breaking up all of our ties, what will be the next thing that will be born as a result? Well, that's how we are anyway. From generation to generation, we're further away from each other. So what is the future of family life? Only on the very first level. I and my parents, and if I have brothers and sisters from the same parents, then we're barely related between us. We can connect, we can call each other up, say congratulations, happy birthday, maybe come to each other's weddings or a funeral. Dr. Latham, give us something to think about until our next talk about family communication. I think that our life is inside our ego that's evolving and developing, and we can't go against the current of time and bring ourselves to closeness in a family like it used to be. We see that even in our time, ties inside a nation, inside a family, you name it, it's all falling apart and dividing and more, and probably the end will be that we will discover that the good connections, where we'll understand that the connection has to be good, and not just naturally, but on the contrary, to go against nature, that nature pushes us away from each other, and we have to go against nature and come closer to a state where it is good for us to see that we're connected, to keep this, that we're connected together, that we don't belong to a family or but to one nation, one world. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Ed. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, we wish you all the best.
Michael Lateman, on Quora, in one sentence, what is true happiness? Happiness is a state in which the upper light fills us with the sensation of an eternal and perfect existence. Based on a Kabbalah lesson with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lateman on December 11, 2016. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lateman. Michael Lateman, on Quora, in one sentence only, why do you believe or not believe in God? I don't believe in God. I have been studying and teaching the wisdom of Kabbalah for over 40 years, which is the method for the revelation of God to every single person in this life, in this world, that is revealing not believing. Based on a talk between Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lateman and Larry King. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lateman. See the Torah in its true form. Question. Mountain in Hebrew is Ha from the word He Hurim doubt. Sinai is from the word Sina hatred. Does the concept of Mount Sinai symbolize the state of a person who is in doubt? Answer. Doubts and hatred precede the correct understanding of the Torah. Our generation is in this state. Question. Does a huge hatred manifest in a person before he unites with other people? Answer, yes. Question, but an ordinary person, reading the Torah, imagines Egypt, Mount Sinai, several hundred thousand people standing at its foot, while we are talking about some kind of internal states, hatred, love? Answer, yes, we are talking about the contradiction of a person with what surrounds him. Comment, there is a lot of confusion. My response, you cannot do anything. We left this state 3,000 years ago and long ago stopped understanding the Torah as it really is. Today we are studying it like children at school, like some kind of fairy tales. And that is why it happens. In fact, the Torah is a coded instruction for connecting people. With the right unification between them, a higher power manifests itself, which absorbs and surrounds everyone. It becomes clear to everyone where they exist, to what extent, that this is an eternal, perfect existence, and not some unfortunate, base, earthly one. Let us hope that we will reach the state when the holiday of receiving the Torah really comes and we will see it in its true form. Once it was given to us, and now every generation and every person must decide for himself whether he is receiving it or not on the terms that were set. From Cab TV's Spiritual States. Program with a good ending. Question, is the Creator a good force? Answer, regarding creation he is kind. And not regarding creation, we cannot say anything about him. We speak about him as about Atzmuto, he by himself, meaning, acting neither positively or negatively. Comment, and like in a good fairy tale, of course, the good force always wins. My response, in fact, this fairy tale is kind, and it is not a fairy tale. This is a planned program of creation. Its ending is visible in the spiritual world. When we rise from the degree of our world, from things that are happening in the earthly senses, to a level higher than our perception, to the so-called Lishma, for the sake of others, then we see the future. Now we are beginning to understand that the present and the future flow both in the forward and in the reverse direction. Therefore, when we ascend to the upper world, we can clearly see its future states. Kabbalists see this. Question, do they see it all in forces and not as it manifests itself in our world? Answer, of course. But they see it and tell us about it. Where did they get it from? How could they describe everything? From the fact that they discovered it all. From Cab TV's Spiritual States. Spirituality, connection with the Creator. Question, what does spirituality mean? Answer, spirituality is when I am connected to the Creator through people and sometimes directly. However, it is better and more reliable if I form connections with the Creator through others. Spirituality is the correct connection with the Creator. If it really is correct, it runs through people, and the quality called the Creator is manifested in it. From Cab TV's Spiritual States. Physical manifestation of ideological wars. Question, the Jews had to constantly fight for connection. But why, even if we look at what is written in the Torah, did they first fight with external enemies, and then began to fight against each other and with those Jews who accepted Hellenism? Answer, all the Jewish wars were between the original representatives of the Jews and those who wanted to break away from this nation and preach other values but also remain part of them. They wanted to convince the entire nation that the new values that the Huns or the Romans carry are correct. Supporters of the observance of true national values rebelled against them. Wars were fought between them. There were practically no serious wars between Jews and Romans and Jews and Greeks. To a certain degree, they happened later, and more with the Romans than with the Greeks. The confrontation that consumed the entire country greatly bothered the Romans who did not know what to do with it, and therefore, sent their representatives, governors, up to the point that they were forced to send troops. Question. It turns out that the conflicts within the nation caused a kind of response from the upper force, which was manifested precisely in the fact that the Greeks and Romans came here and did their job. If we transfer this to the internal war, then can we say that the Greeks are my desires? Answer, all that a person is made of is his desires. They are all egoistic and are divided into several degrees. One of these degrees is called Romans, the other one Greeks, and so on. If you, as a Jew, do not cope with them, then you become under their control and enter a state of war. You are forced to destroy them, and they destroy you until you get a certain result from these clashes. That is, those wars that you cannot fight internally within yourself, ideologically, you will have to fight outside of yourself, physically. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, May 14, 2021. Come, feel, and achieve. Comment. In all Kabbalistic sources, two forces are always considered, for example, Haman and Mordecai, Moses and Pharaoh, etc. My response, there is nothing else in nature but plus and a minus. Question. In principle, can we describe this simply in terms of the interaction of two forces? Answer. No, you cannot describe it as two physical forces. Between them there are many possible actions, conditions that cannot be revealed, and therefore they cannot be described in any other way than allegorically, in the images of our world. You cannot take plus and a minus and say, this is how they approach each other, this is how they move away. Therefore, Kabbalah uses the language of our world to explain all the problems of our correction to people. When a person begins to correct himself, he feels these qualities, but try to ask him, what do you feel? He has nothing to say. It is because he feels the forces and can only explain them in their embodiment in our world. This is the problem. The main thing is that we go through this, feel this, and achieve this. From Cab TV's Spiritual States. Who is behind the image of the king? In the story of Purim, there is a character, King Ahasuerus, who sometimes interacts with the positive force, Mordechai, and sometimes with the negative force, Haman. And it is not clear who he is with because the creator, personified by the king, is represented in a double form. On one hand, the entire creation is egoistic and whoever has more power rules the world. Therefore, we cannot say that the creator is good and does good. In what way is he good? What good does he do? It would be better if he did not exist, then there would be no evil. This is Ahasuerus. On the other hand, it is still the creator, because he secretly, hiding behind the king's image, pushes all of humanity toward a good goal. The problem is that the creator is the absolutely good and benevolent force that exists by itself. It does not need any other kind of force, any other foundation for its existence. And the creatures were created as negative, opposite to the creator, in order to differ from him and not to dissolve in him, because then they would not have any identity. It follows that it is impossible to create creations other than being different from the creator. And if the creator is absolutely good, then the creation must be different to the point of absolute evil. From Cab TV's Spiritual States.